We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne Tha God.
Wake that ass up. The Breakfast Club is on.
I am feeling blessed. I'm talking to the Breakfast Club this morning.
Okay.
I love coming here. I'm never not going to come here. You guys are good to me. In return, I'm always going to be good to you.
A lot of people in the hip-hop generation, the Breakfast Club is where people get their information on the topics, on the artists, and everything like that. In that aspect, radio is still important.
The Breakfast Club.
When my name come up, respect it.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, Envy? It's Dave.
Dave, what's up? Get it off your chest, bro.
All right, I got to make it fast, too, because I'm on break from my job. But basically, what I wanted to say is how President Trump, he's branded so, like, to be a hateful guy that everyone hates him, but they don't realize that he's actually trying to protect. I believe that they're trying to protect us from this COVID, that they're trying to get vaccinated as for, like, population control. And I honestly don't think, like, this COVID is something as big as for the media is portraying it to be. And people, you know, they don't realize that. That I believe it's more of to get a vaccination and control population.
I'm going to tell you why I don't believe that. The reason I don't believe that is because this is an election year. Donald Trump's crown jewel was the economy. I don't think he would tank the economy for population control. I think he would want to get a second term first.
No, he's not. He's trying to protect us. You guys think, like, Dr. Trump, Bill Gates, those are the people who are trying to get even more billions off of this corona. Every 2 years, we have a virus, but people don't realize that this virus is actually sick. And now that it's sticking, they're using it to crash the economy, and then they're going to come out with this vaccination that they're going to force people, if you want your kids to go to school, you got to get vaccinated, and it's going to kill more people. Like, these vaccinations kill, like, a lot of people. But people don't
ask your question.
How many people like AIDS. Remember AIDS in Africa? They were actually vaccinated and it gave people AIDS. And that's what gave more people AIDS in white Africa of what AIDS.
Listen, why do we act like people don't get vaccinations every year for something? Like, why would they wait? Why would they have to wait for coronavirus? You can get vaccinated for the flu. You know, kids got to get shots before they go back to school.
And vaccinations for flu is just as bad. That's why I would never give, like, my
But I'm saying they could have been implemented this plan. They didn't have to, you know, crash the economy and do everything to implement the plan.
They've been doing this plan for, like, over 10 years, and they're finally sick. They've been doing this 5 years back. And that's just what I feel. And I feel like Trump, when he talks about this medicine that helps and cures, it actually does. He don't benefit off of that. He's actually going back and forth with, you know, the higher-ups like Bill Gates and Fauci. And people think that he's trying to throw this medicine out, but he's actually not just throwing the medicine out. He's just trying to, like, let the vaccination kick in. Like,
well, that's not true either. I read something where he did have some stake in the hydroxychloroquine drug.
Right, and I would rather listen to the doctors than Donald Trump when it comes to what medication you should and shouldn't take.
Is Bill Gates, let me ask you a question, is Bill Gates a doctor? Does he have any medical history?
I listen to Dr. Fauci. I'm not talking about Bill Gates. I wasn't even discussing him.
Well, Bill Gates hired Dr. Fauci, you know, and that's why Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates is a thief.
What? Bill Gates hired Dr. Fauci to work for the government?
I can't, guys.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what up, guys? It's Nick. How y'all feeling this morning?
Nick, what's up? Nick. Get it off your chest, bro.
All right, so here's what I got for my chest this morning. We need to quit. How are we going to talk about racism of a white government when we ourselves as a black community are racist in saying that everything's about the black community? There's white people in the ghetto that get treated just as poorly as the black people do. There's brown people in the ghetto getting treated just as poorly as the black people do. I've seen white boys pulled out of their car at gunpoint in the ghetto by the police for nothing, just like a black guy. The problem is not rich or a white crime or a black crime or white neighborhood, black neighborhood. The problem is if you don't live in the rich part, you got a problem. You will be treated poorly. It doesn't matter about the color of your skin. It doesn't matter what
you're wrong.
Don't you know in rich areas, black people get treated horribly too?
Exactly.
You know, in middle-class neighborhoods, black people get treated horribly too?
You know that
young man that was just running and just got killed, that wasn't in the ghetto or poverty-stricken place, sir? He was running in a middle-class area and got murdered?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's a problem.
I think that police officers have even admitted that...
quit being racist when we ourselves are being racist.
We're not
police
being racist.
Have
we're
even
telling the truth.
Admitted that they were told to stop black people more often. They even have said that.
They ain't being racist. This is telling the truth, sir. And guess what? You're right. There is a class issue in America, but there's absolutely positively racial bias in America. Okay. And just like Envy just said, when you black, if you in a rich neighborhood, if I live in that neighborhood, the police will still pull me over and profile me. If I'm in a poor neighborhood, they'll pull me over and profile me. What are you talking about? People like Oprah Winfrey have been profiled in stores. Okay. Like, come on, bro. Knock it off.
What I'm talking about is.
I don't care what you're talking about this morning.
If I got a white neighbor that was born and raised in the same neighborhood I was, it don't matter where he goes either. It does, man.
But have a good morning.
That
is such a lie. Listen, my first white friend name is Thomas Evans. Okay, and we grew up on the same dirt road in Mount Corner, South Carolina, in the same financial conditions. Guarantee you, if he was driving a car and I was driving a car in a certain area, they wouldn't bother him. And guess what? I would be happy for that because I would use his white privilege like Starbucks Wi-Fi, goddammit, to get us both out of there.
800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're man
or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Yeah, hello.
What's going on, Envy? It's been a minute. It's Mello.
Mello, what's up, bro?
Yo, man, I'm chilling. This quarantine is killing me, but I'm not going to lie. The social distancing is definitely necessary, for real.
Mm-hmm. What's been going on, man? What about your best friend, iPhone, man?
Yo, iPhone, yo, he's been doing his thing. Like I said, we just been perfecting the craft during this time. This is just a pause on everyday life. You get time to just manifest everything you want to accomplish, and it's been great. It's been treating me great. It's been treating me a lot better than Charlamagne Hairline. I can tell you that.
Mello, let me ask you a question. What craft are y'all perfecting? Scamming?
Listen, I'm not gonna say what we do over the radio.
I know you ain't nothing. Y'all doing legal as well. Why are you trying to perfect that craft?
But how do you know what we doing is not legal? What proof do you have?
Well, we can start with iPhone Sims charging people for shout outs on The Breakfast Club. That's true. That's one.
That's not illegal. Where is that illegal?
You might be right. That's unethical.
That's a scam, though.
It's unethical. It's just whack.
That's a scam.
It's whack.
It's unethical.
I never said it was right. It's not illegal, though.
Right.
It's a scam. It is illegal because you can't guarantee. You can't guarantee we're going to shout those people out or you're going to get a chance to shout
those
people out.
It ain't our responsibility, though.
And you know how else I know y'all scamming? Because you won't even tell us what the craft is because you know it's a scam.
No, it's not actually. I'm not scamming. I'm not going to speak on anybody else. I know I'm not scamming.
I'm not scamming. Yo, you just snitched on iPhone. I ain't robbed the bank. All three of us. I ain't robbed the bank. I ain't going to say who did, but I ain't robbed it. You snitched on them.
I've been a snitch, too, man. Who died and made you 6'9"? Don't sit there and put that energy on me.
Who died and made you 6'9"? I'm going to use that one, Mello. Who died and made you 6'9"?
Hello, who's this?
Butterfly from Baisley.
What's up, my butterfly? I miss you.
How can be Charlamagne the God and the
Baisley.
What's up, butterfly?
What's up? You working? They put you back in that shop? You working again?
Huh?
Are you working again? Did they hire you again?
Yes. Okay. And I want to get it off my chest.
Go.
Okay. Now, baby, shout out to him. I sell chicken and fish. He lost somebody dearly close to his heart. Okay? I tried to call him. This is for ye. Where ye at?
I'm right here.
Okay. This for you. I need to ask you, how can I talk to him? Because I tried to tell him I lost my money at the job. I know this is not a good time to be talking about money. But please, I need to look on the camera and see who got the money.
Somebody stole money or you lost it? What happened?
I lost it. I dropped it and somebody picked it up. Now,
how much?
I'm cleaning up a buck and change.
Mm. $100?
Even though it's not that much, still in awe. True.
You need your money.
Thank you. Because I was trying to buy me some new hair supply stuff when I catch the lady in the beauty supply. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Let me ask you this, but do people know you lost it? Because if somebody found money, how are they supposed to know whose money it is?
Good. Because I told everybody in the store. And you know what I said to them? Homeboy came to me. He said, Butterfly, can I get a dollar? So I digged in my pocket because I was so sad crying. He said, nah, I'm just playing. I'm like, oh, you might be the one that got my money.
So Diddy and Starks, man, go on the camera and look who stole Bait Butterfly's $100, man. Just look on the camera and say who stole that money, man. She need the money.
Picked up that money.
She want to get her hair did. She want to go buy some bundles. Can you see who stole her money, please?
You know exactly what time she was in there.
You ain't got nowhere to go, Butterfly.
That was on Friday. Can't.
Oh, you had somewhere to go?
Yeah.
Where you got to go, Butterfly?
My castle.
Oh, you want to look good in your house. You want to look good for yourself.
Well, I ain't got no man, so why not?
True.
Nothing wrong with that. Look good.
No man.
All right.
Take some selfies.
Well, thank you, Butterfly. If you don't know, Butterfly works in Queens, a store called Rochdale's Chicken and Waffles, some of the best food in Queens. And Butterfly works there, so shout out to Butterfly. All right.
Get it off your chest, 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. I know it now.
Call me. And your opinion to the Breakfast Club topic. Come on. 800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we were talking about how difficult and how hard it is out there. But people are getting creative. People are coming up with all types of ways to make extra cash. I was telling you about DJ Will, who is a DJ here at the station. Of course, the clubs are closed, so he can't DJ the clubs like he usually do. But what he's doing, he's cooking. He's cooking for the neighborhood. You can pull up on him. He got all types of food. I seen Caribbean food. I seen seafood, soul food, all that. So shout out to DJ Will. His Instagram is DJ Will NYC if you want to order some food. But what are you guys doing to make a little extra cash?
I see people making their own special rum punches and bottling it up for other people to buy, which is nice at a time like this. People are at home. They might want a little drinky drink.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, because, you know, everybody that I've spoken to who has, you know, been laid off or been furloughed, they really haven't, you know, figured out how they are going to eat for the next 2 or 3 months. Like, it really is a dire situation, you know. I mean, I do hope that they can figure it out, but they haven't. A lot of people are really waiting on those stimulus checks, you know, from the Trump administration in order to make ends meet. So, I don't know. Yeah. Some people dipping into their savings if they have any. I haven't heard anything yet.
Well, if I would just tell people this, if you are going through hard times, financial problems, the first thing to do is, instead of not paying, call. They are being very, very lenient with people. If it's a car note, if it's your telephone bill, if it's your mortgage, call them and tell them what you're going through. And they are being very, very lenient right now. So definitely give them a call.
What about student loans? Still
not pay.
Did they suspend student loans, right?
Yes, they have.
All right. Well, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Freddie P.
Hey, what's up, bro? What are you doing to make a little extra cash right around now?
Well, I'm still currently working on a truck, you know what I mean? We working 7 days a week delivering, you know what I mean, in Columbus, Ohio. But I was calling up here to say that the drug trade was still booming. But then I heard you say something about you selling your sneakers. Then people, what's up with that?
What you mean?
Let me get some of them sneakers you're selling.
No, what it is is I'm not into stocks. I just never been. My mother-in-law lost a lot of money back in the day, so I've never been on it. So what I do is I take things that I might not be thinking about, like, let's say, a pair of sneakers. I'll sell it, and I just put it into the stock market.
Oh, sneakers in the stock market. Nah, I thought you were trying to...
No, that's not what he said, sir. That's not what he said.
I thought he said he was selling his sneakers for $30. That's what I thought he said too.
Yeah, that's what I thought he said.
You got money for sneakers at a time like this, sir?
I just told you I'm working 7 days a week.
He said he's still working.
Oh, okay. No, you better hold on to your money. Ain't nobody can see you in your goddamn sneakers anyway. That's what I'm saying. In the house.
You're gonna be in the house for the next month.
I don't wear them anywhere. I just put them in the closet. I work.
All right. Thank you, bro. Hello, who's this?
Jenny.
Hey, what are you doing to make a little extra money at a time like this?
Well, I coupon, so the items that I coupon with, I've been selling them off to people, making extra money. Like my job, they don't have no snacks, so I've been selling all the snacks that I got from couponing to my coworkers.
Okay.
So
that's smart.
It's been a little bit of plus in the struggle.
That's smart.
That makes sense.
That is very smart. You bring
some snacks to work. Because people aren't trying to go to the store. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I got Lysol that I've been couponing with, Clorox that I've been couponing with. So it's like people don't have these things, like even baby wipes. Some of my coworkers, they needed baby wipes. I was able to sell them baby wipes. So it comes in handy with a little bit extra cash, and I'm also helping people that need things.
Right, you just can't charge them too much, though. You can't.
What about your...
No.
Okay.
What about your musty coworkers? You sell them any deodorant?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Okay.
I might not say it, but I'm going to hint it to you.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You want to get this little roll on for a quarter?
Is there an app where you can just get coupons? I'm sure, right? Online? I haven't been using coupons.
I mean, Groupon. Groupon, don't they?
There's different sites where they have coupon codes and things like that.
Like, you know, when you go to the supermarket, though, and you're like, okay.
Now, yeah, they have coupon codes, and if you Google...
Because they don't be having those flyers anymore.
They pop up. Yeah, they still got flyers at BJ's and Costco.
Oh, I know.
Well, 800-585-1051. We're asking, you know, it's tough out there. It's hard times right now. What are you doing to make a little extra cash? What are you doing to make some extra money? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
It's topic time. Pick up the phone, baby. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about how people are making extra money. We know it's hard times. People are getting let go, laid off. They're not working. So what are you doing to make a little extra money? That is the question. 800-585-1051. Hello, who's this?
It's comedian Tony Fett, man. I'm from South Florida, man. Shout out to you, DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God, Angela Yee, man. I love y'all.
Hey.
What's up, you a comedian? I know you ain't working right now.
Hey, no, that's a damn lie, man. Listen, man, I work pest control. I have an essential job. I work pest control during the day. I damn sure ain't working at night. But listen, I want to tell y'all something. Anybody that's out there, y'all got a car, you need to either DoorDash or you need to Uber Eats. Well, what's that?
Smart.
What's that thing you can do when you go pick up people groceries and stuff? What's that?
It's called being a good Samaritan. I've been said that. I said that these kids.
Now he's talking about the app where people go get your groceries for you and get
smart,
paid for
yeah.
it.
These kids should have been going to these older folks' house and grocery shopping for them.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, he's talking about Instacart. So, because Instacart is actually hiring right now.
No, that's very smart. And not only for old people, for people that just don't want to leave a house and scared to leave a house, you could pay somebody, hey, go get these groceries. Yep, give them a couple dollars. Yeah, that makes sense.
You would have to be very PPE'd up, meaning that, you know, you would have to have on the gloves, you would have to have on a raincoat, you'd have to have on a mask. It'd have to be a lot in order for me to let you go get my groceries.
Right. But, I mean, these are things where you can make a little extra cash. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
That wake and bake. That Kush hitting this morning, huh?
Nah, I'm over here. I'm sitting in the car watching a tiny little dog laughing at something. We're trying to bark at a grown person, you know. But my first time calling here, y'all, I respect what y'all saying out there. Yo, Charlamagne, I'm down in your hood, man. But you from South Carolina. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, though. But
okay. Yeah. Don't be taking that goddamn corona down to South Carolina now. Have you been tested?
Oh, hell yeah. I get tested for anything, man.
Oh, you lying. Yeah, you ain't never got tested for coronavirus in your life.
Bro.
But what do you do to make a little extra bread,
right,
though?
That's cool. Well, right now, I'm using my last name, which is Blackstock, as my logo design. I'm also doing logo design for a lot of different people, especially for those who got kids, trying to utilize that in a way where it educates kids. Right? I'm also doing some, like, books for kids. You know, I'm trying to put them online to make them into little videos because after my daughter got murdered, I started trying to use that formula, like, you know, because I was like, all right, kids is growing up, you know, broken homes and all that. So let me try to correct that.
Well, condolences to you, my brother. How long has your daughter been gone?
Yeah, my daughter died. I was locked up at CT in 2002, you know, on Father's Day. That's when she got murdered. So,
God damn,
man. Like, pardon me?
Sorry to hear that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry to hear that, bro.
It's all right. You know, I'm not I'm a better person. You know what I mean? But, you know, they say it's always karma. But anyway, I tried to open for after school center when I was in Connecticut. That didn't work out. So now I took my drug money. Yeah, I used to sell drugs. To go on my drug money and try to reinvest that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm doing what I'm doing with it now.
All right. Well, salute to you, my brother. Bro.
Appreciate you, brother.
I hope that you know, continue to grow in this journey called life.
And be safe out there. Hello, who's this?
Hey.
Hey, who's this?
Hey. Hey,
this is Marco.
Hey, Marco.
Hey, Marco.
Hold on. Out there. What are they doing to make a little extra money, brother?
Me, gaming.
Gaming's a good one.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
No, gaming is a good one. My son made a couple hundred dollars
Switch,
the other day.
Caffeine, YouTube. Gotta do what you gotta do, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Y'all business gotta be booming stuff right now, right?
Gaming? Yeah, they said the gaming business is amazing right now.
Well, of course, yeah, but they're shutting down GameStop, unfortunately.
I read that.
But you can get
yesterday.
Stuff online too, right?
Yeah, but online it's not the same as GameStop. You know, it's not. You can't buy the used games. You know, $40, $20, $30 is all $60. So that's, you know, it's a little costly. But hey, I'm doing it.
Why are they shutting down GameStop? I briefly breezed across that article. I didn't really dive deep into it. Why are they shutting it down?
Because they're not making business anyway. Everything is digital.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, kids, you can buy games. You don't even have to leave the house no more.
You can have a subscription.
Download it right into your thing, yeah. Well, thank you for calling. But, you know, games are making a lot of business. I watch my son, and after he finishes school, he goes and he plays these tournaments, and he makes a couple hundred dollars all the time. So they're making a lot of money, too. 800-585-1051. We're asking, what are you doing right now to make a little extra cash? I know it's times are hard right now. A lot of people have been laid off and fired. So what are you doing to make a little extra cash? Call us now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. So we were just asking, what are people doing to make a little extra cash, all right? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are being laid off, being fired. So we're asking, what are you doing to make some cash? Give somebody some ideas. Let's go to the phone.
This is a time to get creative when you're at home, too, to be like, okay, what can I figure out that I can do to make some money?
Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Devin out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Devin, what's up, brother? What are you doing to make a little extra bread?
Man, right now I'm trying to work on a clothing line and writing a book. You know, I'm trying not to let this virus get me lazy, man. I'm trying to find some extra income out here. And you know, I don't want people to wait on these stimulus checks. Just get this income while it's out here. Find something that you can do, make yourself useful.
But you know what? Even I was talking to a plumber, and he was saying the plumbing business in the heating and AC business has been booming. He said because people are home, so they're starting to hear things wrong with their house that they usually wouldn't
Absolutely.
Hear.
Absolutely. So that's why I think trade school should be free. Like, people really need to get back into trade school. You really need to get back into learning how to do things with their hands. That's immediate money. And that is, you talk about essential jobs?
Right.
Those are always essential jobs. Air conditioning, fixing air conditions and heating units, electricians, plumbers. Like, we always are going to need them.
even pest control. A lot of people said now that they're home so much, they're starting to see things that they shouldn't be seeing, whether it's bugs, whether it's mice. So pest control is doing a lot.
Right, I don't know if you saw the streets in New Orleans. They're saying for a lot of times the rats would eat the scraps off the food that people had at the bars and the alleyways. Mm-hmm. And now because people aren't out eating anymore, the rats are trying to find food. So it's becoming overrun. Yeah.
I also want to tell y'all, brothers and sisters, I respect y'all wholeheartedly, but don't act like y'all didn't see those roaches before this quarantine, okay? You just was ignoring them goddamn roaches, but now that you're home all day long and you got some people in the house with you, they telling you, they keep reminding you that you got them goddamn roaches, all right? So now you're getting them fixed, all right? But you knew you saw them roaches beforehand.
My goodness. Hello, who's this?
Brian Michael Jr.
Hey, what's up, bro? What are you doing to make a little extra bread right now?
What's up, King?
I'm still working. I'm still working, but then I haven't been.
Yeah, your phone is a little jacked up.
Oh, okay. I didn't have it to my mouth, but yeah, I'm still working. But then I have still some Wheelite for fire safety out here.
You say you've been drinking Pedialyte?
No, I built some Wheelite.
What's Wheelite?
It's for rims for big trucks and cars and SUVs.
Congratulations! So for some reason that made me. Yeah, that make me think of spinners. Remember the spinner rims that people used to have? That's what that made me think of.
It's like that, but these right here at night, it'll wake people up. You know, it'll slow down accidents. Because I had to learn how to walk.
Got you.
I learned how to walk in 2007. So it's beneficial.
So it's like wearing those jackets when you jogging and they like kind of light up. So you see people
like
on the road.
Yeah.
That's dope. Exactly. Is that legal, though? Can you have that on your wheels? I know sometimes they stop on them extra lights.
You remember Two Live Crew? Well, we got to go to court about it.
I ain't mad at you, brother.
I think
it's a great idea. Salute to the Two Live Crew, goddammit.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, it ain't illegal. So, you know what I mean, right now, but they might try. But I'm willing to go to court for it if I need to.
Now, I see a lot of people that put their lights under their cars, and sometimes police pull them over. But I just wonder. But, yeah, I think that's a great idea. Well, what's the moral of the story, guys?
The moral of the story is, man, you just got to eat. You just got to figure out how to go get it, you know, by any legal means necessary.
Right. And I do want to tell people, ask me what site should they sell sneakers on. If you have some old sneakers that look good, you could clean them up. GOAT sells old sneakers. You could sell your old sneakers at GOAT. If they're new, you could go to StockX. You'll get your money immediately.
Absolutely. And I want to tell all these kids, man, and not even the kids. If you know elderly people in your neighborhood, not only are you being a good Samaritan, you can make a couple of dollars, man, just pulling up on the old folks and asking them if they need anything, going to the grocery store for them. You know what I'm saying? Let them give you their little grocery list. You go to the store, pick up some items, make a couple of dollars. So not only are you being a good Samaritan, you put a little change in your pocket too. I think that's a nice little hustle for right now.
All right, we got more coming up next. We're the Breakfast Club. Morning, everybody. It's DJ MV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes, indeed.
This is her first time here.
Finally.
Meg Thee Stallion.
Come on, give Meg some round of applause. That's right. God damn it. Get the energy right in here, God damn it.
AKA Sugar, AKA Tina Snow in the building.
Album is out right now. Now, let's start. For people that don't know, how did Meg Thee Stallion start out as a rapper? How did you get into this rap game?
So, my mom was a rapper. Mm-hmm. And, like, every day after school, and when she would get off work, I would see her in her room writing and stuff. And then she would be, like, going to the studio, and I'll be in the little waiting room. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure she thought I was in there doing, like, little kid stuff, but I'll be, like, listening at the door, like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. And I really thought it was normal. I kind of low-key thought everybody mama was doing that. So,
everybody mama was rapping?
Yeah, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know, it was just normal. So I would eventually, like, start stealing her CDs with, like, all her instrumentals on there and, like, start sneaking and writing. And then she'll be, like, asking, like, have you seen my CDs? And I'll be like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, and then, like, eventually when I graduated from high school, I was like, I can rap. And she was like, no, you can't. And I was like, yeah, I can. She was like, let me hear you. So I started rapping, and she was like, oh, my God. Like,
you can't rap.
Do you remember the first verse you spit for?
I really don't remember what I was saying, but I remember I rapped over, like, the I'm Different beat by 2 Chainz. Okay. And she was like, oh, shit. Like, so then ever since then, like, I don't think she still even took me seriously then. So I started going to the studio on my own. And so when she knew I was at the studio by myself and stuff, she was like, oh, hell no, I'm going to manage you. And we doing
this. She probably was raw, too.
I was exactly how I rap now. Like, I was talking probably a little more crazier back then.
She was with your mom? And she said, you ain't living that life.
I was like, mama, don't be mad. I'm a curse, okay? And she was like, okay. I don't think she knew exactly how hard I was about to go. And she was like, I don't know where your mouth came from. And only thing my mama ever played for me was, like, Pimp C, UGK.
Oh, yes.
Like, my daddy only played 3-6 Mafia, so I'm like, I don't understand why y'all not figuring out why I'm talking like this. So
didn't I read somewhere that Pimp C's wife wanted to, she had vocals for you that she wanted to give you? Did you ever do that?
I mean, I got the vocals. I got vocals from her and Juicy J. So, I mean, I was working. I'm still working on my album. Like, I had to hurry up and put together an EP, like, of songs that I just really like that I recorded so far. But, like, stuff like that, I really like to take my time on because I really look up to Pimp C. So, I really wanted to, I want to do the song right.
How long did it take for you to I don't want to say pop, but to actually pop? Because it seems like, on the outside world, it seems like it was fast. It seems like it was a little rumbling, and then it was gone.
I feel like I'm still getting there. Like, I don't feel like I'm just, like, I don't feel like I've popped.
How many platinum singles you got already?
Three.
I mean.
No, you got the right attitude.
That's true, but they don't
really count until you put out a debut album.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I just got a lot more work to do. Like, I like to work. I like to hustle. I don't feel like nothing should just be given to me. Like, I really do want to work for it.
What do you think the shift was? You think it was the Wale song, the pole dancing?
Definitely that was one of the big moments for me. Everybody know, like, I used to do a lot of cyphers. That's where stuff started going viral from. And then Wale was, like, the first, you know, big artist to, like, reach out to me and say, I wanna do a song with Meg. And my manager at the time called me. He's like, Wale want to talk to you. I was like, Wale? like, Wale?
Do you think he was trying to holler at first, or do you think it was about
No, me? Like, as soon as I met him, like, I met him in the studio, and he just played a bunch of records, and I heard when he played pole dance, I was like, oh, duh, like, I'm going to do this one. So we just been, like, really close ever since.
Why do you think Pimp C don't get the proper recognition that he deserves? I saw somebody post the other day. They said, if y'all worried about, if Boosie offends y'all, y'all would have hated Pimp C.
Yeah, he's just very Southern, like, and sometimes people from the South, like, stick to that old Southern way, like, that old Southern mentality. And, like, a lot of the times, I feel like a lot, just Southern rap in general doesn't really get the respect that it deserves.
Even
like,
now?
I mean, even now.
For the past 25 years, at least.
Even they respect the South now.
I feel like a lot of the times, like, people don't get it. Like, I hear when I go different places, they're like, oh, I like your accent, but I can't really hear it. But, like...
But when you're from someplace different, because people will tell me I have an accent, and I'm like, I don't have an accent. Like, if I'm in the South, they'll tell me that.
Definitely you have an accent.
See, but like, and I look at you like, Meg definitely has an accent, too.
I feel like people not used to it. Like, the way we... I feel like maybe we talk a little slower. Like, I don't know. I just feel like sometimes people don't really catch the music. Like, of course, like... Juvenile, like Lil Wayne, like I don't know. I just
lyricists.
Feel like
those lyricists, though.
Yeah, but I feel like it's still catching on. Like it's still growing. So
you think that sometimes people misjudge, like looking from the outside with, you know, hot girl and all of that? Because I looked at it and we were trying to have this discussion on just being like somebody about your business as a woman that is independent, taking care of yourself. You go to school, TSU. Shout out to TSU.
Yeah, shout out to TSU.
Because they're so proud of you. But sometimes people think that means you just out here hoeing and thotting, and they think that's what it is.
Being a hot girl, you know, it really started off as me really just letting everybody know what type of summer I was about to have. Like, me just being unapologetic, me just doing what I want to do, not really caring about anybody else's opinion. Like, me just being me, you know, just doing what we want to do as women. Like, we shouldn't be trying to fit into, like, a certain standard that people try to put us in, a certain box people try to put us in. You should just do what makes you happy. Now, when the boys got involved, it was like, oh, yeah, y'all on that hot girl shit. Y'all think y'all this? And then it turned into, like, a whole, like, battle.
Hot girl versus city boy.
Yeah, I was like, whoa. Y'all making this shit up. It wasn't.
Duval started that shit.
Yeah, well, they drug it. I was like, damn, like, hot girls, like, I was seeing. They was like, yeah, real hot girl. I was like,
that's not what it was.
I wondered, what did you do for the fall?
It's a hot girl semester.
Oh,
school.
Went back to school.
Yeah, we went back to school.
And how's that going? I seen you studying when you was rehearsing and all that.
I'm taking quizzes every other day, doing homework. Like, I try to get it in when I can.
What's your GPA?
Oh.
Busy.
No, I got maybe a 2.7, 2.8 right now. It could be better.
What's your major?
Health administration.
Do you really want to do that? Like, why are you still in school at this point? Like,
so,
it's got to be a reason.
So, to take it from the beginning, when you go to college, I feel like half the time a lot of people only going to college because that's what their parents told them to do.
Parents made them do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that you even go to college knowing exactly what you want to do. Like, that's where I was at with it. My grandmother told me I should go to school to be a nurse. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, well, since my grandma said do it, I guess I'll do it. But I always knew what I really wanted to do. I just hadn't told my family. Mm-hmm. So I went anyway, and I would be sitting in class super bored. Like, I'll be like, oh, my God, I don't want to be here. Like, I'm writing raps and shit. Like, I was just like, damn, I don't want to be here, but I don't want to drop out because I don't want to disappoint my family. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, what can I do to, like, stay here but actually be interested? So I changed my major to business management. Mm-hmm. And I still didn't like it. I was still bored. I was not interested. So I had left PV and I had got a job, and I was still doing classes online at like HCC because I didn't want to not be in school completely. I just didn't know what I wanted to do with myself because I wanted to rap, but I still wasn't like, I knew my grandmother wouldn't like it.
Right.
So it was something I was hiding from her too. So finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to just go back to school, but I really need to figure out what I want to do.
That's right.
So I knew that I wanted to be in the health field, but I knew I didn't want to be a doctor. I knew I didn't want to be a nurse. I was like, well, what is it? Like, I just knew I wanted to help. So I told my grandma, like, where I was at with it. Like, I was like, I really want to run some shit. Like, maybe I could be the head of the hospital. I don't know. And she was like, you know what you should look into? Healthcare administration. And TSU had the major. Mm-hmm. So once I started going to TSU, now I'm actually, like, learning and I'm making A's and I'm paying attention. Mm-hmm. And then I figured out, you know what I'm learning to hear, a lady had came and spoke and she like ran an assisted living facility. So I was like, that sounds like something I would really want to get into. And my grandmother, I watched her take care of my great grandmother for a long time. And I'm like, no, definitely, this can't be only going on in my family and what I'm seeing. So I was like, I want to open up some assisted living facilities.
That's smart. Dope. That's entrepreneurship.
That's
smart.
So that's what I really want to do now. And since I'm, you know, I've already been going to school for so long, I might as well keep it going.
How many more credits you need to finish?
I think I need maybe like six more classes, but I'm taking them like two at a time, so that's why it's going slow because I am.
We got to get the GPA up, though. You know,
we got to get the GPA
at least a 3.0.
I got to get a 3. I want to be better and I want to do better, but I'm trying.
You be working.
Yeah. So you're thinking about life after rap.
Yeah.
All
right, we got more with Megan Thee Stallion. When we come back, don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. EJ, Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Meg Thee Stallion. Charlamagne?
You celebrated a born day last month. Your born day is on February 15th, right?
Yep.
So does a hot girl expect a Valentine's Day gift and a goddamn birthday
party?
Hell
yeah. I need some both days.
What if you get a car? You still expect another present or is that a joint gift?
So, okay, so is the car for Valentine's Day or my birthday?
Wow,
it can't
that's
be
great.
A joint one?
A
no,
car?
That might be a joint gift.
A car can't you give them both days?
No. You give a car for birthday and then gas for Valentine's Day.
A gas
car. Even if it's gas, like, it's still got to be some type of celebration. Like, I walk in the house and there's flowers all over the place and then it's like the little thing of gas in the middle of the floor. Like, baby, I got you some gas for your car.
There you go.
I got to say, if somebody bought you a Lamborghini truck on Valentine's Day, I don't think they have to get you something.
Well, we can go to dinner the next
day. Okay, and you can drive.
I still want it to be a celebration.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, you would be a good side chick, right? I'll tell you what.
Oh, my
you could be
goodness.
With your main on Valentine's, but then be with you on Side Chick Appreciation Day, which is the next day, but
wow,
it's also your
it's
birthday.
She went both days.
Yeah.
See, my birthday's real public, so, like, it really wouldn't be, like, a side chick thing.
I know,
unless
but it would still make you
blast.
Feel special.
I need you on both days.
I could lie to you about my girl.
Mm-mm, don't lie. Don't lie. I'm going to find out.
Goodness gracious.
She going to find out. Somebody going to find out.
When did you know that you was about to be out of here, just as far as achieving the levels that you've achieved? I know there has to be some point when you were like, damn, this is really like happening the way that I want it to. Was there a moment that you were like, damn, look at me, I'm on this tour, or I got this person?
Yeah, when I did my first tour with Meek and Future, mm-hmm. When I even got the offer, I was like, damn, they know me. They want me to go on tour with them. So I just felt like, you know, I felt super, like, lit. I was like, oh, wow. Like, sometimes I don't. It surprises me who knows me. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think, you know, highly of Meek and Future. So I'm like, oh, wow. Like, right. That's crazy that y'all want me to come on tour with y'all.
Did Beyonce know you before all this, too? Because I see y'all in pictures.
I don't know when she found out about me, but I was so happy when I met her. Like, I couldn't believe it. They invited us to their home on New Year's.
The Carters.
The Carters.
What that house look like?
It was crazy. It damn near looked like a museum. Like, but when Jay had invited me to the house for the party, I told my whole team, I was like, okay, y'all, look, I got a show today, but we got to make sure that I make it to this party on time. Like, I don't want to f*** up. Right. This is my first time meeting Beyonce. I want to do it right. So, literally, my stylist brought my, because it was a pajama party too. Mm-hmm. He brought my outfit to my show super late. So the GPS, I remember just looking at the GPS and it said we was going to be there in 7 minutes. It was already damn near 12. I was in the car. I was about to cry. And I was like, you made me miss Beyonce party. I fucking hate you. Like, we literally ran in their house at 11:59. And then everybody's like, woo. And I was like, oh my God, we made it. I couldn't believe
it. The Carters had a pajama party for New Year's Eve?
Yeah. But everybody, of course, everybody's pajamas were like super nice.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah,
y'all been in shock. Like, I don't get invited.
Was it a sleepover?
No, it wasn't a sleepover, but I don't know why I was pajamas. But it was really nice though. Yeah. But I was so pissed because he brought me like these old fancy ass pajamas and right. I didn't even wear the fancy ones.
Hold on, give us a little inside peek at that Illuminati life. Now, who was at this party?
Goodness gracious.
I don't know nothing about the Illuminati. It really be blowing my mind when I see people say that shit, like, oh, yeah, she in the Illuminati. Now I be like, bitch, I don't even know how to get in that shit. Like,
I
got to
do some research on the Illuminati.
Okay, I got to look that up. I don't even think black people can be in the Illuminati.
Yeah, it's disrespectful because people act like they don't believe in God and hard work. And only it only seems like black people do that to each other.
It's like, how can you discredit these people for working all their motherfucking life and now since they doing so well, they gotta be down with the devil. That's
God ain't real.
Yeah,
and you
get
to see Meg's throwbacks at her freestyling in the cypher, so you can see how long it's been happening and that she was nice back then.
See how she avoided answering who was at that party though.
You know, I don't like telling nobody business.
You can look up the pictures online, right? You can just do that.
Right.
Now, we've seen in the press that, you're trying to get released from your contract. How is that going?
So, actually, I'm not trying to get released from my contract. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to, renegotiate some things in my contract. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And how is that going?
Well, it's going. But, I mean, a lot of things I can't say because it's legal. I got to handle it in mm-hmm. court. But, mm-hmm. I mean, things are public information.
We got the contracts right here.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk about this just yet because I just met you. So I wanted to, But since we're talking about it.
Right.
Now, 1501 Records, what have they done for the career of Megan Thee Stallion?
So when I first got signed, it was Carl and T. Ferris. And, everybody was super nice, of course. But for whatever reason, me and my mom were just more drawn to T. Ferris. Like, he was just really nice, really supportive. Like, mm-hmm. Anything I asked for, like, T. Ferris would just do it. I would record at the studio every day with them. I had shows. I was just coming up. T. Ferris would be there. Carl would pop up from time to time. I'm pretty sure he helped a lot with some radio at the time. And then,
what do you mean, like paying for radio?
I don't know how
that
goes.
For radio? That's illegal,
it happens,
Charlamagne.
Megan.
It's illegal, Charlamagne.
I have an honest conversation. I'm a radio personality. I can say that. Whatever.
I mean, I don't really know how it goes, so mm-hmm. I can't really like speak on it. But I just.
Well, you hire somebody to work
records. Like, whatever it is, I know he had to do something. You know what I'm saying? Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not taking that away from him. I'm not saying that he never gave me nothing. Mm-hmm. But then when things start really taking off, it would be me, my mom, and T. Ferris. Mm-hmm. So when we would be on the road, that's the team. When things start picking up even more, I got signed with 300. So I really just didn't see nobody from 1501 that much.
Do you think things shift when you went to Roc Nation, when Roc Nation started managing you and taking care of your contract?
No. Like, what people don't realize is, I don't put everything on social media. Like, I don't put my problems on social media. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not a person that like to vent online. Like, I just don't care about a lot of people outside opinion. So, like, you would have never knew that we weren't talking even then. Like, it wasn't like, when I see him, I speak, yeah, but it's not like we besties or nothing, you know? Gotcha. Like, me and T. Ferris have a really, really close relationship.
So when you got on Instagram, you had just got to the point where you were really frustrated.
Because I had already seen... Like, I just never made it a public thing. Like, he had already been talking about me online, but I never, like, responded to it. So I don't think people realized that I was just at a point where I was already frustrated. And then when I found out I couldn't drop any music, I was like, well, I might as well say something now. Y'all ain't letting me drop music, so I might as well tell people why I can't drop it.
Right. Well, I didn't understand that either. Why would they not want you to drop music if they eat off it?
I really don't know. Yeah. I could not tell you what's the thought process.
All right, now keep it locked. We got more with Meg Thee Stallion. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Meg Thee Stallion. Charlamagne?
Do you think this is a situation where
major company is poaching off the work that a 1501 did to help you get to this point?
No. Like, Roc Nation don't have nothing to do with the problems we was already going through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I don't like that, you know, people bring up Jay-Z, like, Jay-Z not worried about them. Like, you saying names that I feel like it's just, you're just trying to draw, like, attention to the situation. Like, facts are public. I don't have to lie. Why would I lie? Like, I feel like people want to bully me. Like, you don't have to gang up on me. Like, I didn't do nothing to y'all, so I really don't understand where it's coming from.
I think a lot of that came from, I think you said in the that Roc Nation looked at the contract and told you something.
So when I finally got real lawyers and, like, you know, people around me that knew what they were talking about, it was like, some things in my contract are just unconscionable in the state of Texas. So it's like, well, let's just fix the things that are wrong. So. Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to be released, you just want to renegotiate.
I just wanted to renegotiate my contract.
Does it look like things are going to move toward that direction? Are you feeling like... Do you feel like if you had a conversation...
I tried to have a conversation.
Because Carl said he hasn't heard from you since August. He's like, I haven't heard from
him. He ain't heard from me before that. Like, we just don't have a relationship. So it's not nothing that's brand new. It's not because of Roc Nation. We just already didn't have a relationship.
Maybe Carl was the money guy, but he wasn't the day-to-day guy. That's what it seems like.
I mean, like I said, like, I could... I know what's being said is not true. Like, all that hundreds of thousands of dollars, like, people not even, you know, putting it out there. Like, we asked for the proof, and you're not even giving us the proof of that. Like,
I gotta go back and look at some of your old Instagram pictures.
Well, thank God we got an album out today. The album
is
out
today. Well, so it's not
today.
Even my album. It's an EP.
It's an EP.
So it's an EP.
So who is Sugar now?
So Sugar is basically just like a girl who is going through it, but she getting through it. It's like me basically letting people know that I'm not perfect. I'm a human. I know I be fucking up, but I be trying. I be getting through it. You know what I'm saying? And I don't like the fact that everybody be trying to seem so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want to be perfect? But obviously, people online, they just are all so amazing, and nothing's wrong with them, and they never been through shit in their life. So, I mean, that's more so what I'm talking about.
Isn't it whack, though, that you gotta learn that in real time? Like, you gotta that has to play out in front of the world. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As you learn those growing pains.
I mean, it's just all a part of being in the light. So I can't complain. I knew what I was getting into. So it's not nothing I'm upset about. It's just. I'm just learning as I go. Now so when I bump my head, I just be like, okay,
yeah. You and the baby make great records with each other,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
Are y'all doing an album together? Is that a plan to do a full project?
I don't know if we're going to do a full project, but I know we definitely got some music that's going to come up and some other things I don't want to say yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the baby always says if he could do a collab album with somebody, it would be you.
I love him. Like, I really think that would be fire if we actually did it.
Mm-hmm.
What type of deal is Megan Thee Stallion looking for? Not necessarily in that situation, but just in general. At this point in your career, what would be fair to Megan Thee Stallion?
I just want it to be fair, and I want it to be, you know, good for everybody. Like, nothing is going to be perfect, but if we can both come to an agreement, like, you gotta give a little to get a little, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I understand that, so I just want everything to be fair.
Do you have a relationship with Jay Prince at all?
No.
So, have you ever met him?
In person, no.
Okay.
Growing up, did you look up to rap a lot in Jay Prince? You had to, right, in Houston?
No.
Really?
Like, I didn't... I was young, so I didn't really know anything about it.
Got you.
I'm sure you
I mean,
know
if you
sons,
knew Pimp C and all of them, though.
Like,
you...
Right, I only knew the music. Like, I didn't know the backstory. I didn't know the background. I mean, you know, I'm from Houston. You know, you hear things.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't... I didn't think it was going to be anything I would ever have to deal with.
Right. I wanted to talk about the song, Bitch.
Well, hold on. Jay accused you of lying this morning on his Instagram. Said you're lying on him in court documents. What is that about?
Like, that's something that I definitely can't talk about, but I don't lie, though.
Who helped you negotiate your original deal with 1501?
I mean, all of this, I really would like to answer it.
Got you.
So, hopefully, you know, next time I come, I will be able to talk about it. But right now, it's just in court, like, so I can't say a lot of stuff.
Is this stressful for you right now, though?
Well, oh, yeah, definitely, because all I want to do is just put out my music.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I care about.
So. Well, she got to go, guys. So let's play.
She just got here.
She
got
to go. I'm telling you what they're telling me.
But a 40% profit share, you think that's good for established artists, for new established artists? Or you want a little more?
I mean,
everybody wants
40% more. It seems pretty good.
That's good. Like, that's really not even the highlight of what my problem is.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But you can't talk about what the problem is.
I can't talk about exactly what it is right now.
But Sugar is out right now.
One more question. I've seen you also being accused of going Hollywood too fast.
By who? The people who are going against me right now?
No. Who is? I see Isaac Hayes say that a lot on Instagram.
Isaac Hayes?
Yeah, not the singer.
Oh,
his son.
I was like, who the hell is that?
No, his son said he likes you, but he said he just thinks you're going to Hollywood too fast.
Well, I don't know him. He don't know me, so he can't say none of that. I guess you just go off what you hear from another guy, and you know you want to run with that. But I don't know that man.
You think LA impacts your music at all?
No.
I say every time I see Meg, she always been really nice to all her fans, her hotties.
Anybody that really know me know how I really am.
As a matter of fact, my goddaughter met you backstage at a show and was so excited. And y'all got cute pictures together and everything. She's 18 years old. And you didn't know who she was. And she came, took pictures.
Bothering nobody.
Every time I see you, you always act the same. I know people who I met them early in their career and they act funny later.
No, she's always been humble, always been cool.
I don't have no reason to act no different. Like, it don't matter how much money I get. I share it with my whole team. Like, I don't feel like being a bitch is going to benefit me in any way.
Right. That's real. My grandma always said, manners will take you where money won't.
Yeah, my grandmother, like, pretty much preached the same thing to me. My grandma always told me to just be positive. Like, always be kind to people. You never know what people are going through. So just always should be nice.
All right, it's Meg Thee Stallion. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Make sure you tell them to watch out for Florida, man.
The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida.
Yes, you are a donkey.
A Florida man attacked an ATM for a very strange reason. It gave him too much money. Florida man is arrested after deputies say he rigged the door to his home in an attempt to electrocute his pregnant wife. Police arrested an Orlando man for attacking a flamingo.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Donkey of the day with Charlamagne the guy. I don't know why y'all keep letting him get y'all like this.
Well, donkey of the day goes to a mother in Seminole County named Amanda Meter. You know what Seminole County is, right? It's in Florida. Okay, I'll never forget in the Now Classic record, My President, when Jeezy says he cheated in Florida. Would that make him a Seminole? It has nothing to do with nothing. It's just a bar I like about Florida and Seminoles. Now, for the record, what does your Uncle Sharla always say about the great state of Florida? The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. There is no debate. All right? There's things you hear in the news, and before you even know where it happened, you just know it's Florida. And this is one of those stories, okay? See, Girl Dad was trending on social media thanks to ESPN's L. Duncan. Drop on the clues bombs for L. Duncan, okay? I'm a proud girl dad. I have three beautiful princesses at the house, so I love to see the energy of men showcasing their love for their daughters, because a wise man named Hassan Touré told me once, daughters are a blessing. Every time you have a daughter, the quality of your life greatly improves. They just make you better humans, and he was correct. But Florida didn't want to get down with the girl dad trend. Nope. Florida decided to introduce us to boy mom. This is a mother who goes above and beyond for their son. This mother loves her son in a way I bet you don't. Okay? Now, we all take our kids to do extracurricular activities, but what if your child's extracurricular activity is crime? Would you encourage or try to discourage him from that? Well, let's go to WFTV 9ABC for the report to see what Amanda Meter did.
All right. Here's only a Florida story. New at 6 in Seminole County, a 15-year-old boy is accused of robbing a Winter Springs convenience store at gunpoint. And because he doesn't even have a driver's license, yes, police say his mother had to drive the getaway car. She also acted as the lookout during that heist.
Amanda Meter is charged with robbery with a firearm and neglect of a child. When Meter and her 15-year-old son and two others drove to this Circle K at the intersection of Red Bug Lake Road and Tuscarora Road. According to the arrest report, Meter's teenage son allegedly entered the store donning a mask and produced a firearm and then demanded money from a fearful cashier. While the robbery was going down, Meter allegedly backed up her minivan to the store. Surveillance cameras from the Circle K captured everything, including Meter's face, but that wasn't what led investigators to her and her son. That note contained the juvenile's fingerprints, and when they searched Meter's home in unincorporated Winter Park, they found a mask and clothing that matched what the robber wore during the robbery. Meter is being held without bond here at the jail until her arraignment in March. Her son is being held across the street at the Juvenile Justice Center. He is charged with armed robbery.
Amanda Meter. Now, what was the other plan? There was nothing else you could do.
you could think to do with your son? Like, I have a whole list of activities I could think of. But first of all, drop one of Clues Bombs for Marfa Shigalski. She was the news anchor who reported that story. She started it off with this very accurate statement. Just press play on the clip one more time, please. Just the first line.
Here's only a Florida story. New at 6.
That's it. That's it. It's only a Florida story, okay? Marfa, that's what a good news anchor does, all right? I saw you trying to remain objective, you know, trying to be a good news anchor, but the fact you acknowledge the crazy of Florida lets me know you're not crazy. And you're probably not from Florida. People from Florida rarely can step outside themselves and see they're crazy. So salute to you, Marfa Shigalski. Now, Amanda Meter, I Googled a list of mother-son activities for you to do with your son. You could have had a picnic at a park. You could have went to fly a kite. You could have went miniature golfing. You could have binge-watched Power. You could have went fishing for the day. You could have created a Finsta account on social media and, you know, troll your siblings. It is several ways to bond with your son. It is several ways to spend time with your son that don't involve you being an accessory to a crime. Now, I have to say, I am impressed because when I was 15, I can't remember my mom taking me anywhere I wanted to go. I remember vividly trying to coax her into dropping me off at one of my little girlfriend's houses, and she wasn't with it. She might have dropped me off to a football game or two, but I don't recall that either. Father did, definitely. Mom, I don't remember, but that's also because I was the second oldest of five, so she didn't feel like leaving the house with all them kids, so I understand. Now, it's layers to the stupidity of Amanda Meter, though, okay? Right? It's layers of the stupidity in this story. Number one, the young man wasn't wearing gloves. So the note he gave to the cashier is what led to his arrest because his DNA was all over it. It's a part of me that feels like he simply didn't know any better, okay? He had a mask. I can see him getting dressed at the house asking his mom, Mom, do I need to wear gloves with this mask? And his mom replying, no, son, just make sure you bring the gun back with you and, you know, you'll be fine. So being that he had no gloves, his DNA was all over the note. And I'm going to tell you something else. I think Amanda Meter actually wrote the note for her son. It only makes sense. That 15-year-old walked into a Circle K with a note from his mom. The note probably said, to whom it may concern, this is a note to say thank you in advance for the money you are about to put in my kid's bag. Don't make this difficult. Don't get shot. Sincerely, Amanda Meter. I can see it. Moms write notes for stuff all the time. When you forget your homework, they write notes. When you miss the bus, they write notes for you. When you late, they write notes for you. When you got medicine to take at school, they write notes for you. But in Florida, they write notes for their sons who want to rob Circle K's. Please give Amanda Meter the biggest hee-haw. None of this would have happened if she would have been being a mother and not an accomplice, because even the clothes back at the house, he probably just came home, took them clothes off, and threw them on the floor. If she'd have made that boy pick them clothes up and throw them in the hamper, they probably would have never found him.
All right.
Oh, but you know what?
What?
We got to play a game of Guess What Race It Is! Okay? Now, Florida mom, 15-year-old son, she's an accomplice in him robbing a Circle K, drove him to the Circle K, and was the getaway driver. DJ Envy, guess what race she is!
White.
Okay. Angela Yee, Circle K got robbed by a 15-year-old man, his 15-year-old boy. His mother was the getaway driver. She was an accomplice in the crime. Guess what race she is?
Definitely Caucasian.
Well, I will say that DJ Envy, Angela Yee, you both are correct. Amanda Meter is Caucasian.
Yes.
So let Kathy Griffin give her the biggest hee-haw.
Please give this giant jar of mayo the biggest hee-haw.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Yes, sir.
All right. We got more coming up next. We're The Breakfast Club.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody, is DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Terrell Owens and Matthew Hatchett. Charlamagne?
How do you think your ego helped and hurt you in the league, Teal?
Well, if you don't know me, then, of course, you're not going to know how to perceive me. The narrative was that I was a bad teammate, locker room problems, things of that nature. But my defense was no players have ever come out and said that I was that the media has, you know, put out there. I had coaches, you know, that were served as like father figures, like big brothers to me. Mm-hmm. They would pull me to the side. They would let me know if I was doing something wrong. Every stop that I've made, I've had those coaches that pulled me to the side. I'm like, yo, you're not doing anything wrong. And these were black coaches at that. They knew what was going on in those locker rooms, regardless of what was being reported about me. So that gave me confidence to still be who I was, be outspoken. And when I was in press conferences or what have you, post game or whatever, if they asked me, you know, what happened during the course of the game or my feelings about the game, I gave you the real.
It had to hurt in the later years, though, right? Like, when you were still in shape, clearly you could still play, but they didn't want you in the league anymore.
Negativity sells. Now, I think with the social media platforms that, you know, we have now, I think I could have dispelled some of those things. Mm-hmm. I would do an interview with somebody like a Deion Sanders or Andrea Kramer mm-hmm. for like an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. But then they will break those hour and a half down to like 5-10 minutes.
And get that headline.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you have a panel of guys that are critiquing that little soundbite. So it compounded and made me look even worse.
And I've been a lot of places with T, and like 99% of those negative things that are on the on ESPN or Fox, whatever, it usually comes from a personal basis.
I've gone on Shannon and Skip show mm-hmm. and some of that, like, and Skip has been like,
Skip hates you,
right? He was the main culprit because he was a writer, beat writer in San Francisco around the time, and so again he used me to kind of, I guess, put himself in the forefront, I guess, to be who he is,
catapult his career, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And so all the things that he said about me, they're not factual.
Did you ever press Skip? Like, I know we see the TV sit mm-hmm. down, but catch Skip out and about and like,
I've never really seen him outside of the studio.
What would you do? What would you do? No,
but
what you gonna do?
Not you gonna do.
What do you want me to do?
I'm asking what you gonna do. You got a lot of animosity about that dude.
I'm not about that life. And
again, would you speak?
No, I mean, I sometimes, you know, they say kill people with kindness. Sometimes mm-hmm. I kill them with blindness. I don't see him.
That's why you keep your shades on?
I just act like I don't see him.
So you really don't with Skip?
No, not really. But like I said, I've gone on the show because I'm confident in who I am and what I've done mm-hmm. and my character. And so, again, over these years, like I said, I think he's done a disservice for who he is as a journalist to create false narratives and things about me.
You think he personally attacks you?
Oh, no doubt, for sure. I mean, the whole T.O. obliterator thing, this, that, and the other. Obliterator. I even went on a show. And again, you know, he said that was an issue in Dallas, and I've been removed from every stop, this, that, and the other. But I went on the show with facts. He said that was an issue. My character was an issue when I left Dallas. I went on that show. When you get released from a team, the team filed as to why they let you go. So there's a number of boxes they could have checked. Mm-hmm. If it was conduct detrimental to the team, they could have checked that
box.
But you know what box that was checked as to why they released me? It was performance-based.
Too slow.
And I don't even know how that was because I was the leading receiver.
I'm surprised y'all don't fight, man. I'm surprised y'all don't fight. Y'all don't ever wrestle the move for it to one time. Slap box
is the only way you can stay relevant. You don't even know who he is. That's the only way you can stay
damn.
Relevant.
Hey, you know, Nino Brown G money. He going to take you to the roof, bro.
I'm going to throw him up off that joint, too.
One time, y'all ain't fight. One time, never.
Man, I will mop this young boy up, man. Don't play with me. Come on, man.
Now, listen, we do have Antonio Brown coming up here, right?
Yeah, I'm going to check that flight. That's
what
I'm saying.
What do you think about what Roger Goodell had to say about, you know, wanting to help him out in the league? And
I don't know. What did he say?
He said that they want to make sure they help him.
I think they're talking about him personally. It seems like it's bigger than football. They're talking about his personal life. So they just want to make sure he doesn't literally, like, you know, do something to himself.
Now, you guys been in the league for a long time.
Oh, wait, I wanted to ask you what your conversation was like, though, with Antonio.
I went over there as a friend. Even with the video that went out, like I said, we've had this discussion. Mm-hmm. My thing is, you know, he's a father, he's a dad. I didn't like, you know, the way he was using the language in front of his kids, mm-hmm. this and that and the other, and whatever situations that he had in regards to the police, his girlfriend or wife, whatever the case may be, handle that outside of the video camera. You know what I mean? I didn't have a father growing up. He didn't have one growing up. So we have a responsibility to be better than what our fathers were to us.
Now talking about mm-hmm. kids, you guys been in the league a long time. We talked about CT a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. Would you allow your kids to play football?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think they're trying to do whatever they can to make the game safer.
I've never
really pushed my kids to play anything. If they wanted to play sports, football or what have you, then I'm all for it.
Yeah. What do you think, Matthew?
I'm not sure yet because, again, I don't have kids yet. So
what?
I know, right?
Wearing condoms all those years in the league?
Hey, you know what? I buy every condom that he has never bought. He got 25 kids, so that's how I look at that.
I love my kids, but I'm envious of these guys.
I thought you were about to say, I love it, bro.
Right?
But you said you wouldn't let your kid, you don't know if you let your kid play.
I'm not sure yet, because it's like, you know, when your kid's like 9 or 10, that's when you kind of let him play. And if he's the hammer, he's out there hitting everybody, getting up, saying, I love it. You're like, then you let that kid play. But if he's that kid that's kind of whining about it and, you know, crying and I got a hurt shoulder, a bloody nose, and I say, don't let that kid play. If he's the hammer, let him play. If he's the nail, don't let him play.
Yeah, if they got the passion for it, the drive for it, then, yeah, I mean, why prevent or, you know, a kid from wanting to achieve their dreams. You know what I mean?
The CTE, the injuries is what, you know, a lot of parents say.
That's part of the game. That's always going to be something, some recourse to any sport that you play.
So, Hatch, let's start with you. What do you think of this whole Aaron Hernandez situation?
I think the Florida Gators, the NFL, the NCAA, they all knew what was going on with him. And when you're that good, they do what they have to do to keep things quiet.
You think the NFL will have a star player? Because we don't have a lot of openly gay NFL players.
Mm-hmm.
You think that's something that's going to happen sometime soon?
Well, what was the guy? Michael Sam?
Yeah, every time.
Not a lot.
He could play, and they got rid of him real quick.
Every time somebody comes out and openly, you know, expresses themselves or, you know, want to come out the closet and be brave, they're jobless.
Yep.
Either of y'all have players in the locker room that y'all knew?
I've never known one.
Been in a situation where I even suspected it.
So your advice would be stay in the closet if you're in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to really have an NFL career, like, otherwise, is your point of really coming out? If you want to be an advocate for the LGBT community.
Matthew's like,
yeah, just go do that.
Again, that Michael Sam scenario. A couple years back, did he get drafted?
He got drafted.
Seventh round?
Yeah.
But he was out of the league so quick.
It didn't last.
It doesn't help.
But was he really good, though?
He was good enough, but they really treat anyone who doesn't fit that criteria, and they get him out the league. Because if you really look at it, the T.O. scenario, the Michael Sam scenario, not in that scenario.
No, I know you're saying.
I got you confident. Okay.
Not me. I'm waiting to see where he goes with this one.
Get the popcorn.
And the Tim Tebow scenario, it's really all the same. They're three way different type of scenarios.
Religion,
sex,
sexuality,
and a bad character, but they get them
out. You see more of the T.O.'s, though. More the bad character, attitude, ego, you think.
Not until they do something. Like, if you see bad character like he had when you're in your first...
I've never really done anything.
Well, let's say if he would have did that when he was in his first or second year. He would have never made it for 15 years. That you have to perform first.
Got you, what I'm saying?
Again, those whole scenarios, like, you don't get to perform unless you're, like, that good that early, and then we're going to give you some leeway later on. But the Michael Sam never got there.
Mm. So, question, that could be, like, kind of Colin Kaepernick situation, too, right?
Same scenario. Right? Do not move the needle in the negative direction, else we will get rid of you.
All right, keep it locked. We got more with T.O. and Matthew Hatchet. When we come back, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Terrell Owens and Matthew Hatchet, or T.O. Now, Colin Kaepernick, did you see his workout? What did you think? Do you think he deserves to be in the league after watching this workout?
Yeah. After the workout, that had nothing to do with it. To me, he should have been there 3 years ago. But at the same time, Cap did pass up contracts that were on the table because he wanted more money, so that's on him.
But he wanted fair value for what he was.
But who says it's fair?
Based on his production, look at the guys that you can compare him to.
You can't compare him to nobody. Okay,
why not?
Because his numbers and his Super Bowls, let's say, because he didn't have right.
You only good as your last game. So again, if you compare his stats to when he left the game versus the guys that are playing now,
that's what they wanted to pay him like a backup. Right?
What years was he passing up contracts? Because I've heard that's not true, that
exactly.
He didn't pass up no contract.
It's just hearsay.
About 3-4 years ago.
What is the number? What numbers was it that he was passing up? Nobody knows.
Yeah, nobody knows.
I don't know.
But I heard it was market value. That's all I'm saying. But what you're saying is he should have been getting paid like the top 20 guys. That's what he thought.
There are guys that are...
I didn't think he was a top 20 guy. I thought he could play. I thought he should be in the NFL for sure. He could be battling for a starting position. And you treat it the same way. When you're a free agent... And somebody's like, okay, you can come here and you can compete for a job. Some players don't want to hear that. Mm-hmm. Some people want to hear, I'm the starter. And like I said, maybe, I don't know, maybe that's what he wanted to hear, but he didn't want to hear, you have to compete for this job. And then if...
He didn't want to go through what Melo went through, where Melo went through a team and had to play as a star for a star position.
There you go.
But he did, and he is
But he did, and now he's back playing, but you have to go through that process. We're not just going to give it to you, especially black athletes. They don't just give it to you, especially in the NFL. There's a bunch of 5'10", 180-pound white quarterbacks that are third-string guys they keep around for 4 or 5, sometimes 6, 7 years in the NFL. You'll never hear about them, but they're not moving the needle.
Mm-hmm.
If you're moving the needle, you better be good, dang near great, and that's what the NFL is about.
But he's better than those guys, those backup
guys.
But
he can't get paid like a third-year guy, or a third string. That's what you just said. He wanted more money. We're going to pay you like a third or second stringer.
But nobody knows what you're saying.
I know what a backup quarterback gets paid. He gets paid $4 million a year, but he wants 10.
I think he's worth that.
But you're not the GM or the owner,
right,
so
but
your opinion doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's not the point that I'm making. I'm saying that he's worth that. So if he turned
to
it down...
To you, not to 32 other teams.
For a guy that's not comparable to his talent, then yeah, of course you're going to say that.
Damn.
Wait, was that a stab? I wasn't sure. I'm telling you the reason.
I can't pay you now based off your best year, though.
Thank you. You are not getting paid today for yesterday's game.
Now, Donovan McNabb.
Nasty.
He's been talking, you know, you've been saying about how your team love you and stuff, but Donovan McNabb had some things to say. He said that you're negligent to inappropriate behavior.
I'm glad you said that because even, you know, like I said, there's some inaccuracies, not factual stuff that even Skip said. I heard an exchange a couple of weeks ago he had with Shannon, you know, saying that McNabb, you know, challenged me to a fight and I backed down.
He said
Jason Witten challenged me to a fight and I backed down.
First of all,
neither one of them.
You sound like a punk.
Trust me, neither one of them don't want this problem. And when I got in a scuffle with Hugh Douglas,
That was a real story.
Right, I heard that one. I went into that locker room after that, and I saw Donovan there, and he knew what had just happened. And I asked him.
And you said the same thing. You want a piece of me, old man?
He said, no. And I said, if you want some of this, you can get some of it, too.
So you put your hands on Hugh Douglas?
Yeah. I was in the training room. I was getting treatment or what have you, and I was in the HydroWorks pool. The door was cracked, and he was yelling through the door or from the outside, and I heard him, and he was like, yeah, some people in here faking injuries, this, that, and the other. And I, you know, found it disrespectful. So I got up out of the water, you know, addressed the situation. We got in a little scuffle, this, that, and the other. Wasn't really any blows thrown, but like I said, I handled my own.
So you fought Hugh Douglas, then you went and challenged Donovan McNabb to a duel. And you wonder why they say you were kind of disruptive in the locker room, T.O.
And Donovan McNabb said no, just to be clear. He didn't want...
Oh, he didn't want none of this, trust me.
You can see how that can be misconstrued, like you can be disruptive in a locker room.
But what about... You didn't say nothing about Hugh Douglas.
Yeah. Being disruptive in a locker room.
He's the one that started it.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to say something. I'm always rooting for everybody black. You and Jason Witten, I might have to go with Jason Witten, man, in the fight.
Well, I mean, you can go with that.
What you think, man?
Hey, I didn't see. He has this thing. It's a different level of strength. He's got like that old country strength. Like,
yeah,
he can put 225 on the bar. He probably barely go do it. But he's like that old country boy strength where, like, when he has to do something, when he's got to lift a car. You're like, God. Yeah, he's one of those dudes.
But that's the thing. It never happened?
Jason Witten and I, there's never been any altercation.
Any beef anywhere.
That's the thing.
Did you fight anybody in the Cowboys locker room?
No.
No scuffles, no nothing?
I almost got into it with the receiver coach, Todd Haley.
Shoving, pushing?
No, we just got in.
No, they ain't never gonna put hands on. He would never put hands on.
I ain't never do that. I'm never gonna disrespect anybody unless they put their hands on me.
But let me ask you this: as a table, right? Mm-hmm. If just your eyeballs, right? You see a white dude and a black dude fighting in the street, and a cop comes up. They're both 2 feet away. If a cop comes up, who's the cop going to stop first?
The black guy.
Yeah,
that was just him.
You see what I'm saying? It had nothing to do with, nobody even knows all these situations.
Right. Well, if he took his shades off, he'd look less suspicious. I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah. Why do you have your sunglasses on, man?
My future is bright, man.
CGG, I'm here in the Breakfast Club. I mean, this is an honor for me to be here, honestly.
Like, we happy you here.
And one thing you both can agree on is that T.O. should have been one of the NFL's all-time 100, right?
I kind of like that he's not in it.
Wow.
Because now we're on the same level.
That's your guy, too.
We're on the same level, though. We both didn't make it.
What about top 10 wide receivers? He should have made that.
Oh, he definitely should have made that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even close. You know what I'm saying? But
I've been, like, these are the things that I've been forced to kind of digest throughout the course of my career. Like I said, I wasn't looked upon to be like the next Jerry Rice. Honestly, I never had any ambition, never thought I would play beyond the collegiate level. I didn't even really watch football growing up. I didn't really know who Jerry Rice was till like my junior year in college.
I hate that. Because I'm such a football guy, and I wanted all that, and you're the guy that says he didn't want all that, and he got it. I want to choke him out right now.
Right.
Right. Got to subscribe to this podcast. Right. I don't know how long T.O. breaks this team up.
Yeah, right. Fight later on today.
With Hatch.
All right. Matthew Hatch, we appreciate you guys for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having us, guys. We appreciate it, man. Hashtag GPR.
This has been an honor, man. This has been great.
Absolutely. All right, it's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now it's time for the positive note. You got some positivity for us?
Listen, the positive note is simply this. Some people we just outgrow, okay? Relationships might end with no real explanation as to why. And when that happens, respect the shift, honor the growth, and understand that not all roots can stay planted in the same soil forever.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.